welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, got a lot of things we're going to be talking about this morning. And before I, you know, let the mayor get so far out of my mindset, you know, 35 years old and a mayor of a large city, a large urban city in the country. And he's a bright enough young man, but what makes him so special is that he came from trying circumstances. He's from a family of 10. He's one of the youngest of that family. He has a brother, an older brother, who is a warden. But he also has an older brother who is being charged with attempted murder. And through all of those things, he has learned to deal with the deck, the cards that he was dealt, wound up getting a degree from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, did some traveling and some work internationally. And is as mature a young 35-year-old that you will ever run across. I am really just excited about the future of that young man and about the future of our city in his hands. The thing and the other thing that I'm so respectful of about the new mayor of our city is that he gets it, he sees it, he understands exactly what the challenges are in urban centers across this nation. And so I've been joined by my guest, Mr. Mike Letts. Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Earl. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. Where are you located?
Located in Columbia, South Carolina.
Columbia, South Carolina. From everything that I hear from people who have moved down to the Carolinas, they love it. People who've left the North, and are you originally from there or you're transplanted?
No, I'm originally from here, but you're exactly right. Those that are coming love the weather, although it's a little bit warm for myself, but I guess it's better than 10 feet of snow.
Let's talk a little bit about who Mike Letts is.
Well, I have been in my originality is my parents were missionaries. My father's a minister. I'm a minister. And grew up in Mexico, actually, on the mission field, but we're originally from Columbia, South Carolina. I graduated college, and we have a family real estate development company that I'm involved with and that I work for, and got involved in politics, served on council for 30-some years, served as an officer, a law enforcement officer, for the same amount of time, created a national charity that provides bulletproof vests, body armor for officers in need. And we've been trying to make sure that we take care of our thin blue line ever since.
Let me ask you, sir, about the latter thing that you just mentioned, helping to provide vests, bulletproof vests for law enforcement officers. I guess, first off, people would ask the question, We would be under the assumption that all law enforcement officers would have. That would be a part of what they would receive once they say, I'm going to be a law enforcement officer.
And they would be logical to think so. But unfortunately, that's not the case. To give your listeners a little background, we started this charity in 1993, roughly 30 years ago. And at the time, they had just developed the Kevlar, the bulletproof vest. And 52% of officers across the country did not have those vests. Well, we were able to get involved and help bring that figure down to 20%. Understand that we're talking about 1.2 million officers across the country. So you're talking about 20%, you're still talking about 400,000 to 500,000 officers with no protection. But in the last 5 or 6 years, now a concealable vest, the one that is worn under the shirt, is only designed to stop a sidearm, a pistol. It won't do any more than that. Over the last 5 or 6 years, our law enforcement officers have been targeted now by assault rifles, long-range rifles. And those, we had to develop new technology called active shooter vests that have titanium plates in them to be able to stop those rounds. But unfortunately, 90% of officers across the country do not have the new technology active shooter vest. You know, with me being on council, I understand there's only so much money to go around. Oftentimes, government feels like if we can put you on the street, we'll worry about trying to get you properly equipped later. It's a tragic situation for all involved.
Okay, so now I understand it. Law enforcement is allocated a bulletproof vest, just not the top of the line or the latest technological advances in bulletproof vests. Is that correct?
That's correct, and that's probably 80% correct. What I mean by that, there are some small agencies across the country who have no vest. But typically now, most of the agencies, 80%, allocate a concealable vest, or at least, you know, a vest that will stop a sidearm.
You know, you said, and if ever there was a time to examine or what it is you just said, it's now. The AR-15.
Correct.
The vest you are talking about, will it stop an AR-15 round?
An active shooter vest, yes, it sure will. It will stop any round out there.
Okay.
But the concealable vest, the one that most of them have under their shirt, it will not. No, it'll cut right through it.
So I wanted to ask you your thoughts then on what everybody is talking about. We see these constant, assaults that are taking place. Is law enforcement in support, as far as you know, of citizens owning these types of weapons? I had someone on the other day from a different part of the country who represented Gun Owners of America, and he said that law enforcement supports having citizens with these types of arms. I wonder what your thoughts are.
Well, actually, yes, sir. The vast majority of law enforcement officers do. And let's look at the facts as to why. Because typically where we're missing the equation is it's not an inanimate object. It's a human being that creates the issue. Where it's an assailant driving his SUV through a parade and killing people. Whether it's somebody stabbing somebody with a knife, shooting him with a gun. The problem that we have gotten away from this country is holding people accountable for their actions. The actual objects that they use are inanimate. They can be used any way a person desires to do so. And so we're very careful to make sure that we deal with the source of the problem, and that's the human that's behind the object.
So unlike,
and that's what we feel like we've let down.
Unlike the guess I had on earlier, you sound like more than a reasonable guy. You're a thoughtful guy, I can tell just by our early moments in this conversation. But I have to really challenge this belief that it's an inanimate, we know it's an inanimate object, there's no question at all about it, but because you constantly hear that refrain, guns don't kill people, people kill people, but then right. You don't go on to the next step of that, guns don't kill people, people with guns kill people. So I mean, it if people didn't have the, I just had the mayor of our city on.
Sure.
And he talked about what many other mayors are talking about, the carnage that goes on in our cities that don't get talked about as much as these massacres. Can you hold on for a second while we go to a quick break?
Sure.
All right. We got to go to a break. I'm excited about my guest, Mr. Mike Letts. We'll be right back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.